You're on.
I believe I'm ready. Jordan, how are you turning us on?
You're already on.
Are you ready, Clerk?
Yes, I'm ready.
Okay. Good morning. I'd like to call the Appropriations Committee meeting to order. It is 11:16 a.m. on December 15th, 2020. Clerk, could you start with roll call, please?
Yes, ma'am. Congressman Keene?
Present.
Congressman Big Horse?
Present.
Congressman Walker?
Here.
Congresswoman Shaw?
Present.
Congresswoman Lemon? Congresswoman Lemon? Congresswoman Lemon?
Present.
Second Speaker Rebard?
Here. Okay, thank you, Clerk. I believe we have a quorum. The third item on our agenda is prayer, and I've asked Congressman Walker if he'd render a prayer this morning.
Thank you, Chairwoman. Dear Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you for this day. I want to thank you for this time of year, Lord, and just thank you for the Christmas season, Lord. I know there's a lot of people that struggle this time of year and have a hard time, you know, buying gifts and really enjoying it like you should, Lord. I just ask that you be with them, Lord, and help comfort them. Lord, I just ask that you be with us today, possibly tomorrow, as we deliberate and make decisions that affect our people, Lord. I just ask for those that are mourning, that are sick. Lord, you be with them. You comfort them. Lord, just be with our children. Be with all of the kids in the schools and the teachers and our frontline medical workers, Lord. I just ask that you help this vaccine that is coming do its job, Lord. We're all so ready for 2020 to be behind and move away from this pandemic, Lord, ready to get back to so-called normal. Lord, again, I just ask that you be with us, help lead and guide us. Please forgive us for our sins. All these things I ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Congressman Walker. The next item on our agenda is item number 5, our FY21 Congressional Appropriations Report from our budget analyst, Jordan Frazier. Jordan?
Clerk, this is the clerk.
Yes, ma'am.
We skipped item number 4.
Oh, I'm sorry. Approval of minutes. I apologize. Your minutes are in your packet that I sent out to everybody. They're dated November 18, 2020. Thank you, Clerk.
I move to approve the minutes.
Thank you. There's a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. All those in favor say yes.
Yes.
Okay, thank you. The minutes are approved. The next item on our agenda is the FY21 Congressional Appropriation Report from our budget analyst, Jordan.
Good morning, committee members. At the beginning of the third special session, there was $1,904,062 in projected revenue that remained unappropriated. By the conclusion of that session, Congress had appropriated $1.4 million from the general fund, reducing the amount available for appropriation to $504,062. That is the starting point for the fourth special session. On September 30th, the last day of fiscal year 2020, the Gaming Enterprise Board provided a $20,415,043 distribution to the Osage Nation. That distribution is currently held in the general fund. But because the distribution was received in fiscal year 2020, it is not available to Congress to appropriate until the fiscal year 20 audit is completed and the fiscal year 20 unobligated funds are transferred to the retained revenue fund. That's the law. However, ONCA 2108 would create a one-time exemption to this law. And in doing so, it would make $20 million of unaudited fiscal year 2020 funds available for appropriation from the general fund right now. If ONCA 2108 were enacted, the total available balance for appropriation would be $20,504,062 from the general fund. Five appropriations will be considered during the fourth special session. Combined, the appropriations amount to $13,112,784. All five of those would be sourced from the general fund of the Treasury. Assuming ONCA 2108 were enacted, and subsequently all five appropriations were passed, the fourth session would conclude with $7,391,278 remaining available for appropriation from the general fund in the future. You've received fiscal analyses for all of the appropriations that are being considered, and I'm happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Jordan. Does anybody on the committee have a question at this time?
Second speaker, this is Brandy.
Yes, ma'am.
Just wanted to wonder if anybody else would like to continue to discuss the difference in the balance on the property improvement fund. Mr. Frazier spoke about the fiscal analyses that he did on all of the appropriation bills. And I heard a different balance that Chief Standing Bear reported for the property improvement fund compared to the fiscal analysis that our budget analyst provided. So I would like to, I think I jumped the gun and I need to apologize because I believe the treasurer is on our agenda. So I will yield at this time. I apologize.
Okay, thank you, Congresswoman Lemon. I appreciate your comments and I was gonna suggest the same. I too have a difference in the balances that were reported from CAHICA versus what we've received. So if there's no other questions for the budget analyst, I'd like to move on to item number 6. This is an audit discussion with REDW auditors. I had provided in your packet the support documentation that the 6th Osage Nation Congress used to approve this auditing firm. with the questions that we've been receiving. I took it upon myself to reach out to the manager who is on the line, and I thank you. I think it's Durham, or Durham, how do you say your name? I'm sorry.
Dearlum.
Dearlum. Okay, I was way off. I apologize.
No, you're fine. Thank you.
You have Mr. Tyhurst with you as well. And I just want to thank you guys for joining our meeting. I had also included the journal that showed that Congress had approved this company to handle our audit. So I spoke to a couple other members of the committee that agreed, and we welcome you. And just so you know, we have three members on the Appropriations Committee that are new members to Congress. They're actually not new to our government, and but so we would like to. We'll probably be asking you some questions for clarity, and so I'd like to start off with what is the status of the FY19 audit, and then move on to the FY20.
Okay, great. Well, thank you. Good morning, members of the Appropriation Committee. My name is Chris Tyhurst. I'm a principal with RADW. As mentioned, Mike Dearlum is a manager, and he's joining us as well. Happy to be here this morning to give you an update on the FY19 audit and also FY20. The good news is we are in the home stretch. We are very close to having FY19 completed. We're hoping to issue the Government Programs Department report by early next week. We've got all the final pending items received, kind of putting the finishing touches on the report, and hope to get that done. The Government Programs Department, for those of you that are not aware, is the carved out piece that meets the requirements of the Uniform Grant Guidance and the Single Audit Act. So that does not include your enterprises, casinos, et cetera. This piece, the Government Programs Department, is strictly meant to meet the requirements of the Single Audit Act and be submitted to the federal government. And that's the one that will be done, by early next week. It's been a challenging year for everybody. The federal government extended due dates on these reports, whereas originally, your due date would have been June 30 of 2020. It got extended for all tribal governments and others receiving federal awards to December 31st of 2020. So this report will still be on time, submitted by the extended December 31st deadline, and be done, like I said, within the next week or so. The other pieces of it, we were also engaged to do a separate audit of Osage LLC, as well as, what's called the tribe-wide report, which is then, all of the governmental operations plus all of the enterprises, component units, et cetera, all wrapped into one report. Those two will be issued sometime in January. And all of those, will be, presented, at your pleasure, whenever you would like, either, late December, early January, whatever makes the most sense. We can certainly split it up and present just the Government Programs Department first and then the other two, or maybe it makes more sense to wait till all three are done and just present all three at once in January. So that's kind of the status at this point of the FY19 audit reports.
Okay, thank you. Are there any questions regarding the FY19 from the committee or other Congress members?
Chairwoman Revoort, I have a question.
Okay, go ahead, Congressman Keene.
Yes, Mr. Tyhurst, I was just wondering, fiscal year 19s, we're looking at, that's 2 years now, 2 years ago. I've yet to hear what exactly is the holdup. Maybe if someone with the Treasury can answer that. Why has it taken this long to complete that audit for fiscal year 19? I just need some clarity on that, please. Thank you.
Of course, if I may, I'll jump in, and if someone from Treasury wants to speak to that as well. A few reasons. Number one, of course, this has been a challenging year, due to COVID and a number of reasons, working remotely, that kind of thing. We received multiple versions of the trial balance, multiple adjustments to the accounting records, subsequent to the original trial balances that were provided, you know, probably back in, you know, January, early January, when we got started on this. You know, quite honestly, the accounting records just weren't ready for audit at that point. And we, you know, we got started and had to stop and start a few times as more adjustments were made. And, you know, we had to go back and revisit a number of things. At the same time, you know, COVID hit right in the middle of everything. And, you know, that, of course, caused a lot of disruption. As, you know, internally, I know there was some finance and accounting department employees who got ill. And then there was some turnover also within the, you know, the finance and accounting department. You know, the combination of these factors, you know, is what sort of led to the delay and pushed this off as long as it did. You know, knowing full well that this is much later than you know, typically what you would want. But again, still meeting the deadline, you know, the extended deadline of December 31st.
Okay, thank you. So is it your opinion, though, that when you came in, the documents that were produced from our accounting department weren't ready to be audited? Is that, can you, that's true, right?
Yeah, that's an accurate statement. Yeah, we were ready to go back in early January, in February got started, and you know, soon realized that there were a number of things that needed to be, you know, reconciled and fixed, and additional support provided, you know, before, you know, we could really get into our audit procedures.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Congressman Keene. Are there any other questions from the committee or Congress?
Madam Chair.
Yes, sir, Congressman Bickhorst.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This may be a question for them and you. How soon can we get a presentation of the audit?
So I would say, assuming we get the government programs department report issued by early next week, you know, that will be, you know, that will be ready to be presented at any time after that. And then, you know, as I mentioned, there's a couple other pieces. You know, our priority was the government programs department report because that's the one that has the deadline. Osage LLC, and then the full consolidated, you know, tribe-wide statements, nationwide statements, those will be done in January sometime. So, you know, those, you know, we could do one presentation of everything all at once, which I imagine would be mid to late January. But if, you know, if Congress wished to have the just the government programs department report presented prior to that, like I said, that'll be finalized early next week.
Okay, thank you. And Madam Chair, that's quite a ways off.
Well, I think, thank you, Congressman Bickhorst, for your question. And so if I'm hearing you correctly, Mike, so you've broken them out into the Osage LLC and probably the other boards, and then the government programs, and then together that's what you're calling the tribal-wide audit. And you're saying that the government programs will be done next week, but probably sometime in January would be the government-wide audit would be complete and you're ready to present. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, thank you. Are there any other questions from the committee or Congress?
Madam Chair, this is Brandy.
Yes, ma'am, Congresswoman Lemon, go ahead.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Good morning, Mr. Dearlam and Mr. Ty Hurst. My name's Brandy Lemon, and I just wanted to ask a kind of a broad question, and it's not in an attempt to point any fingers, it's just in an attempt to garner knowledge and understanding of the process. When we hear of, you know, some obstacles, we all know that, and I'm a huge proponent of, you know, solution-driven situations whenever we run into obstacles. And so, and I'm not trying to beat a dead horse. I'm just trying to understand what, in your opinion, could have improved the, or can improve looking forward, because we still have another audit that's coming up, of course, the 2020 audit. What can we do on our side, meaning, you know, all, not just Congress, but just Osage Nation, to improve the, what's the word I'm looking for here, the flow of information, and then the follow-up of the flow of information. What do we need to do to help it go smoother this time through, if we can in any way help with that? Because I see that we had many obstacles, and one great thing is that we kept going, and we're going to meet our deadline for the government piece of it, which is extremely important, and in working with federal grant monies. So, but I do know that we've had some obstacles, and I'm not opposed to dissecting those, even if it makes some of us or all of us culpable. So I'm just trying to understand where the breakdown is, and please, I would appreciate absolute candor.
Of course. Yeah. And thank you for the question. You know, I think, you know, looking forward is probably the best way to approach this. And, you know, our thoughts looking forward, really two main suggestions. You know, as the nation is, you know, looking to fill the controller position that was vacated, you know, we would suggest, you know, very strongly that you find somebody who is experienced in governmental accounting, and specifically tribal government accounting. You know, that's, it's a very unique, you know, type of accounting, and it's something that, you know, not everybody understands fully if they've worked in commercial businesses or in other areas. So it's really important to have a controller with tribal government, or at least governmental of some sort, experience. And I think that would help, you know, tremendously. You know, our other recommendation is something that we see a lot of our tribal government clients do, and we work with many tribal governments all throughout the country. There are consultants out there that specialize in audit preparation. And perhaps, you know, for FY20, especially since, you know, you're kind of getting a late start, you haven't yet filled that controller position, at least to my knowledge, it may make sense to bring in, you know, some of these specialists, some of these consultants that work specifically with tribal governments in audit preparation. They work with your team to pull everything together, make sure the appropriate accounts are reconciled, produce the schedules that are needed for audit, and facilitate a smooth audit process. And again, it's got to, you know, it's got to be somebody who understands tribal government accounting and auditing. And there are a number of consultants out there that do this. We work with them. We run across them, you know, throughout the country. But that's something that we've found very, very beneficial in the process. Now, it's not something you would necessarily need on a go-forward basis, but for FY20, it might make a lot of sense, especially if either you have not filled the controller position or if you have a brand new controller just starting. It would be helpful, I think, to have, you know, these specialized consultants to for the FY20 audit preparation, at least, you know, for this year. So that's really kind of the two areas I think that would really help, you know, make a much smoother process in the FY20 audit.
Madam Second Speaker, may I continue?
Yes, ma'am. Go ahead, Congresswoman Lemon.
Thank you, Mr. Tyhurst. I appreciate that the solution-driven options that you have proposed. And, well, I'm sorry. I've just completely lost what I was going to say. I yield. I do apologize. Sorry.
Thank you, Congresswoman Lemon. Are there any other questions from the committee or conference?
Madam Speaker, this is Alice.
Yes, Congresswoman Goodfox, go ahead.
Thank you. In the whether you're working for a new client or a client that you've been with for years and years, do you all ever go back and before you actually start, like even before you started the team, Osage Nation audit, did you go back and look at any previous years, just even the final report, just to brush up on what the nation's audits have looked like over previous years?
Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely. And in fact, that is required by our professional standards, you know, to not only look at the reports, but we are required to look at the work of the previous auditors. So we coordinated with the previous audit firm, looked at their work papers, got familiar with the, you know, the nation's operations, and it also provides us with a basis for reliance on the opening balances, so that we can be comfortable then sort of with the starting point and then moving forward, you know, in the new fiscal year. So yes, absolutely. That's something that we did and that we do on every new audit.
And just based off of you all looking back at a history of the Osage Nation audits in the past, what was the largest discrepancy that you saw?
You know, it's hard to say. We just looked at last year's audit and the work papers. I don't recall off the top of my head what types of adjustments were made. I Mike may have a better memory of that, but you know, nothing comes to mind immediately as to what the previous year's discrepancies were. Again, it's not something we really focus on. You know, we kind of look at the year we're auditing and moving forward, but certainly we go back to you know, the previous year's audit to at least have a basis and a starting point.
Okay, so nothing stands out like a $10, $15, $20 million, like nothing that you read through showed anything that was just very damning.
Nothing we saw. I mean, and we had no prior period adjustments. I mean, so that, you know, sometimes if we come to a first year audit, we find something that was wrong in a previous year by a material amount, we would propose what's called a prior period adjustment to go back and fix that from the beginning balances standpoint, but we didn't see anything like that.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Congresswoman Goodfox. Are there any other questions from the committee or Congress?
I remember my question, second speaker. This is Brandy.
Okay, go ahead, Congresswoman.
Thank you. For Mr. Dearlam or Mr. Tyhurst, so hypothetically, we like to play in that playground sometimes. All things considered, that was to go without a hitch or maybe one or two hitches, looking forward to 2020, in the most positive, I guess, side of it, how quickly could we see a finish date on it compared to what we're looking at now for 19?
Yeah, good question. So we've looked at that as well. You know, again, it ultimately depends on, you know, when are the accounting records reconciled and ready for audit? That's number one. And, you know, we've got a team that's ready to get started whenever that is the case. So if you tell us that's, you know, January 15th, we will jump right on it. At this point, what we, you know, based on our understanding of where things are, we're looking at maybe you know, a March or April start with the intention of meeting the June 30 deadline for the single audit. At this point in time, the deadline is still June 30th for the FY20 audit, although there has been some information out there, though not finalized, you know, that could potentially extend that deadline also. But we're not planning on that. Certainly, you know, the plan is to meet the June 30th deadline of next year for the FY20 audit. We can get started whenever the accounting records are reconciled and ready for audit. But you know, at this point, we've got some time out and, you know, schedule on our staff schedule for March and April to get going, you know, with the intention to meet the June 30 deadline.
Thank you, Mr. Tyhurst. I have nothing further right now.
Okay, thank you, Congresswoman Lemon.
Madam Chair.
Yes, go ahead, Congressman Big Horse.
Thank you, madam. Yes, Mr. Frazier, have you all already drafted or have you began to draft the summary letter, I guess is what you'd call it, to the chief over the 2019 audit?
Yes, that's in progress, and that'll be issued with the report by early next week.
Okay. All right. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Congressman. Congresswoman Shaw, are you getting ready to ask a question?
Yes, I am. Thank you.
Go ahead.
Thank you very much. I appreciate the fact that you want to look forward, but when I hear things like our accounting records were not ready for audit, of course, it's very concerning knowing that, our very decisions that we make each session are based on solid numbers, solid records, and based on good audits. So what are we doing? And this may be, I don't know, this may be a question for Mr. Littleton, but what are we doing to ensure that this isn't going to happen for 20 if they weren't ready for audit, which is, again, very concerning? How can we be assured that they're going to be ready for audit for the 20 audit? Thank you.
Thank you, Congresswoman Shaw. Treasurer Littleton, would you like to respond?
Yes, ma'am. Can you hear me?
Yes, okay. Sir.
Okay. I wanted to make sure I pushed the right button. In working with REDW and some of the items that we found as we were going through the audit, there was a lot of, I'm going to call it, cleanup of some items that we think, some journal entries that were posted twice, audit journal entries from the year before, a lot of other things, and I'm sure they can bring to their memory a lot more than we can, but we really feel like that when REDW gives us that final audit, that our starting point is a lot cleaner than it was the previous year. Okay, we've also have looked at what we have provided to them, and we're building that list already. So once they're on site again for the 9/30/2020 audit, we feel like that the answers will be available quicker than they were in the past. The staff's been working very hard to accumulate, to get an understanding of what we need to provide to them, and we're confident that that we can do a better job of getting them what they need and what they ask for. There is a challenge. There was a database conversion that happened as of June 30. And honestly, that's where we've been spending a lot of our time trying to clean up that process. And then when you add in the number of people that we lost in the last year, and then the number of people that were out the last year, and honestly, we're just really catching up. We've really made a lot of good progress in the current year, catching up to where we're going to be. And we've hired some good staff, some degreed accountants to come in and help us with that. So I'm confident that once we get the two databases synchronized and with the staff we have, that the timetable will be cut drastically in the new audit. And that's my opinion. You're more than welcome to ask Mike or Chris their opinion also.
Okay, thank you, Treasurer. Are there any other questions from the committee or Congress at this time?
Madam Speaker, I have one. Maker.
Yes, go ahead, Congressman Maker.
Yeah, this is for the two gentlemen here today. I'm sorry I don't have your names on my computer, but my question is kind of looking ahead. Does your company do all the audits for the COVID CARES relief fund, or is that federal auditing also? Do they have their own? Yeah, thanks.
Yeah, no, thank you. Appreciate the question. That's a good question. Yes, you know, that's something that we've been, you know, watching very closely. Much of the CARES Act funding will be subject to single audit, meaning it will be included in yours and you know, every other tribe's schedule of federal awards. Very likely will be selected for the compliance audit, you know, as a part of the single audit, especially the, you know, the funds that come through Treasury, the coronavirus relief funds. Obviously, those are big dollars, and you know, and every tribe, you know, received a certain amount of that. Those will all be subject to single audit, you know, as a part of the annual auditing process. And you know, we will be looking at, you know, how those monies are spent and making sure they're spent in compliance with the guidelines and the regulations by Treasury, as well as any other. You know, there are a number of other pieces, you know, that relate to the CARES Act. You know, the Provider Relief Fund is a big one. You know, so your healthcare operations got some money through the Provider Relief Fund of the CARES Act from HHS. Those have a separate set of requirements. And then there are some other, you know, pieces of that as well that flow through. So certainly for FY20 and continuing into FY21, that will be a big part of the, you know, the single audit, the compliance audit that's done in your annual audits.
Yeah, thank you. Just one more follow-up. Does the General Accounting Office also do their own audit, federal? Thank you. Do they or do they not?
Oh yeah. So for the funds themselves, they're, you know, Treasury has indicated, you know, that they at, you know, some point will, you know, who knows when, you know, 1 year, 3 years down the road, that they do plan to do some auditing, you know, from the federal side of things coming in, and you know, their OIG offices and looking at how the funds were spent. You know, so I do expect to see some of that from the federal level, you know, in the future. It's not clear what that's going to look like or when that's going to happen at this point.
Okay, thank you.
All right, thank you, Congressman Maker. Are there any other questions? Okay, I have a couple of questions. So I see in the journal that this company, REDW LLC, has been approved for 2019 through 2022. So is that the scope of your contract right now? Is that what the dates and the term of your contract?
Yes, I believe that was what the original proposal, you know, was for last year. We do you know, engage our clients through an engagement letter on an annual basis. So you know, we had our FY19 engagement letter, and we just actually received back a signed engagement letter for the FY20 audit. Yes, I believe that, you know, that is the term of the original proposal. But we do, you know, sort of recontract, if you will, on a year-by-year basis with separate engagement letters.
Okay, and I also read that it's not to exceed $370,536. Are you guys within that amount for FY19 right now?
Yes, I believe that was a three-year total, perhaps. So divided annually. The only exception to that is because of the extra COVID and CARES Act money, there are some additional costs for the FY20 audit, because there will likely be additional federal programs that have to be audited, additional requirements that have to be looked at because of the CARES funding. We did incorporate that into the FY20 engagement letter, and in fact, have already invoiced for that piece of it to allow the nation to pay that. You know, presumably out of the CARES Act funds, you know, prior to the December 30th deadline. But that would be the only exception to that dollar amount is because of the CARES funding and the additional work required. There is a little bit additional audit fee related to that.
Okay, thank you, sir. Also, just another question that's been brought up in previous Congresses, and talked about a little bit with this Congress, but could you visit just a little bit? There seems to be I guess a misconception that when you guys come in and audit, that you actually are auditing Osage law as it applies to Treasury. And I think it was your team that actually spoke to Congress last year about that, because I guess there was this thought that auditing firms come in and they audit and hold compliance on Osage law, which we find is, you know, not the case, that you're following GAAP principles or GASB and things of that nature. But I wanted to know if you could talk just a little bit about that, as far as, I guess, compliance and things of that nature. And like, if you were to come in, what laws would you look at? Is it just strictly the appropriation laws, or if at all?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. And I'll address that, and I'll let Mike Dealum speak too, if he's got something to add, because I know he addressed the Congress on that. But I guess, you know, short answer is, you know, no, we don't audit to Osage Nation law. You know, the annual financial statement audit and single audit or compliance audit is done under the, you know, the standards of generally accepted auditing standards, generally accepted government auditing standards, and the uniform grant guidance. And those are the same standards and requirements that we follow and that every firm follows for the audits of every tribe in the country. So, you know, there are some federal laws, you know, that we look at as it relates to grant money. But, you know, with regard to Osage Nation law, you know, there's pieces of that that might be relevant in terms of, you know, how, you know, certain portions of your fund balance are presented, you know, in the financial statements or disclosed in the footnotes. But, you know, ultimately, you know, when it comes to the unrestricted funds of the Osage Nation, you know, whether that came from, you know, casino transfers or other unrestricted sources, you know, we don't spend any time, you know, really trying to make sure that that was spent according to Osage Nation law. That's just not part of a financial statement audit or a, you know, federal program audit under the uniform guidance. So, you know, clearly, you know, if that was ever something that you wanted an auditing firm to do, you could hire them specifically to do that. But they, you know, that's typically not something that's part of an annual financial statement audit.
Okay, thank you, sir. Also, I know that you're saying that the audit will be complete this month, and then, or a piece of it, and then the other components will be completed in January. So when the audit's done, I'm sure that there could be some recommendations that we would have to comply with. Has that already happened, or are, when you present back to Congress, are you going to say these are our findings, and then we're going to have to get those resolved before we move into FY20?
Yeah, so that will be part of our presentation. You know, any findings that we have that are, you know, either material weaknesses or significant deficiencies in internal control, as well as any, you know, compliance findings we would have as a part of the uniform guidance, you know, single audit, all of those will be in the report and communicated, you know, in that presentation, plus any, you know, additional, you know, recommendations, best practices, types of things that we might have will also be communicated at that time. And, you know, clearly FY20 is already over, so it, you know, you're not going to be able to fix those in FY20, but certainly it's something that you can continue to work on, you know, on a go-forward basis. And we've had discussions, you know, with Treasurer and his team about what some of those findings might be.
Okay, so if there are findings and recommendations, and I guess my question is, would they have to be resolved before you can start the FY20 audit?
No, they wouldn't have to be resolved before we start. I mean, you know, one of our findings, you know, is very likely going to be related to the, you know, to the accounting records and the reconciliations. So that one certainly I think would need to be, you know, resolved before we get started, because otherwise we can't get started on the audit, you know, unless the accounts are reconciled. But you know, there's not a requirement, so to speak, to resolve everything before we start the next audit. I think, you know, what you have, you know, within the audit report is you'll have a, you know, a chance for a management's response, as well as a corrective action plan that you put in there. And as long as you kind of put in there that you're working on it, here's the plan to get it done, here's the people responsible, you know, that's typically what you would do, so that you don't necessarily have to have it all done, you know, before we start the next audit.
Okay, thank you. So just to recap, what I'm hearing about the FY20 is that you've signed your engagement letter. It's in the process of being signed or executed. And then there may be an increase to the amount that was proposed because of the COVID piece of the audit. And you've added that into the engagement letter. And then, so you're going to maybe start on that in January, and it may be done in June. So that would be in June of 21, correct?
Yes, that's all correct, except the starting date. I think we certainly could start in January if everything is reconciled and ready for audit. I'm not sure that's going to be the case. So at this point, we sort of have scheduled our staff to get going in March and April. But clearly, if the nation comes to us and, you know, and with plenty of notice, of course, to say, hey, we're ready for you. You know, come out in January, everything's reconciled, ready to go. We'll get some staff mobilized and get started then, if that's the case.
Okay, thank you. Are there any other questions from the committee or Congress at this time?
Madam Chair.
Yes, go ahead, Congresswoman Shaw.
Thank you. I'm just curious, how's the 2019 audit looking?
So in terms of potential findings and that kind of thing?
Yes.
We could probably give you a summary overview. I know Mike Dearlin had presented that the other day to Treasurer and his team, so maybe I'll let Mike touch on that.
Sure, yeah. We have a couple of anticipated findings that will be communicated in the report, either as material weaknesses or significant deficiencies. One of those is a bit of a catch-all. As was discussed, there were several areas of the audit that were unreconciled when we attempted to start the audit, which really kind of was the financial statement audit really was the beginning of February, late January of 2020 that we started that process. We're going to issue a trial balance maintenance finding. It's sort of a catch-all because there are several areas that weren't reconciled, and we'll list those in the finding. And kind of, you know, make sure that's spelled out, and hopefully that'll really help, along with all the discussions, of course, that we've had with management, just the areas that need better reconciling prior to commencing the audit. And that's a financial statement finding. There also will be a schedule of expenditures of federal awards. That's a supplementary schedule in the audit report that lists all of the expenditures for each federal award program. That changed, and adjustments were made to that throughout the audit process. So there will be a finding associated with that, and that's a federal award finding. There's certainly a connection between the two. Some of the unreconciled balances, you know, led to changes on the schedule of expenditures of federal awards led to those changes. So there will be a few different management letter comments, which are essentially control deficiencies that don't rise to the level of a material weakness or a reportable significant deficiency, however, that we feel is appropriate to communicate. And so there'll be a few, you know, we might kind of consider them operational recommendations. We'll also have a few of those. You know, we don't have all those pinned down, but we'll certainly discuss those and cover those in our presentation to this group.
Okay, thank you. Congresswoman Shaw, does that answer your question?
Yes, it does. Thank you.
Okay, are there any other questions or comments from the committee or other Congress members at this time?
This is Brandy.
Yes, go ahead, Congresswoman Lemon.
Thank you, Madam Second Speaker. Mr. Dearlam, I'm not an accounting person. I have no desire to ever be one. I work in the healthcare field. That's where I started. And so then I went up through management, and of course I had to learn some accounting with budgets and things of that nature. But just for the listening audience and anyone else here, can you just give me you mentioned, I'm trying not to get off in the weeds too far here, so just you did mention some unreconcilable, situations that we had and some findings that you had. In your opinion, as a professional in your auditing group and your expertise, are these simple, quickly fixed issues as a whole, or are we talking, policy and procedural type of management, or both recommendations?
Yeah, great question. I'm happy to answer that. I'm of the mindset that accounting is not rocket science. But that doesn't mean that it's not challenging and unique. Uniqueness to governmental accounting is that, oftentimes there's different types of reconciliations and different accounting treatment when we're talking about tribal or governmental accounting. So, I guess to answer your question, it's not that they're terribly complex. However, you'd certainly want someone with the prerequisite knowledge of how to reconcile and what is the reconciliation process for this. Regarding the policies and procedures updates, I do believe there's very strong, we do obtain copies of what we call PERM file documents. So, we have all of your policies and procedures there. They're very well crafted. I think in reading through a lot of those, I think maybe, some of the year-end financial close and reporting and audit preparation policies and procedures maybe were lagging behind or weren't being followed exactly to the letter for the 2019 audit. Does that answer your question sufficiently?
Yes, Mr. Dearlam, I appreciate that. Like I said, I didn't want to get off in the weeds, and it was an overall view, and so I thank you, and I certainly hope that we as non-rocket scientists can, I like that comment, made me feel better about my accounting. Anyways, that we can take with open minds your recommendations and dissect them ourselves as constructive criticism, which I believe is a way to go forward and move forward and strengthen our weaknesses and strengthen our strengths. And so I'm hoping that with the light at the end of the tunnel of, I've been saying that for a little bit, for a little while, with the vaccines on the way, and the more we get to learn about everything, that this too is something that we can and will accomplish, and we'll do it to improve ourselves. Thank you.
Thank you, Congresswoman Lemon. Are there any other questions for the auditors?
Madam Chair.
Yes, Congressman Potts, is that you?
Yes.
Okay, go ahead.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So I just wanted to confirm from the audit team, in the 2019 audit, we will have significant findings and material weaknesses.
Yes, so right now there will be two reportable findings that we know will be in the report. This isn't finalized yet. And again, those findings are either classified as material weaknesses or significant deficiencies on the report. I won't be able to give you those that determination yet until the report's finalized. That there's some consideration to be made there. But yeah, there will be reportable findings in the audit report.
Thank you, and Madam Chair.
Yes, go ahead, Congressman Potts.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and just to confirm, there was a review done of the 18 audit, and did we have findings there and were they addressed moving forward, or do we have consistent findings?
So when we look at the 2018 report, there was one financial statement finding that was reported as a significant deficiency. It's a general correction of errors finding. You know, you may want to kind of consider that something in a similar bucket to what we're communicating when we say a trial balance maintenance finding. The extent of their finding reported in 2018, I think big picture, it's somewhat of a carry forward of that finding into the 2019 report, and probably has grown or expanded a little bit in the scope of that finding.
So, Madam Chair, as a follow-up to Mike.
Yes, go ahead.
So we did have a significant finding in 18, and we didn't address it. And in fact, it may have expanded.
That would be correct, yes.
Okay. So while many of the things that we can put in place may be simple, and I appreciate that, but we had significant findings in 18, we're going to have them again in 19. Do we have any indication or feeling of 20 yet, or is that way too early to say?
You know, I would say it's a little too early to say. I know, some of what Chris mentioned earlier and ensuring that there is a appropriate level of review of the audit documentation, reconciliations, schedules, et cetera, prior to the audit starting. You know, to me, that's truly the key, the key point of trying to clear a finding like this. And whether or not it's someone internally that has the appropriate background and sort of, you know, oversight of that audit prep process, or if it's a consultant that comes in and does some of that, you know, pre-audit and audit prep work. But, one of those things probably needs to occur, to ensure that the finding is cleared, whether that be in 2020 or 2021 or beyond. That's, I think, the kind of key. But as of this point, of course, we can't speak to 2020 and whether or not it would be repeated or cleared.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Congressman Pott. Are there any other questions? Okay, if there's no other questions, then I just want to thank you, Mike and Chris, for joining our meeting and giving us a status update as to where we are for FY19 and FY20. I do appreciate your time, and we will try to get something scheduled in January so that you can come and report the full audit rather than just components thereof. So we'll get that scheduled and we'll reach out to you. So for the committee, how about we recess until 1 for lunch, and then we'll come back in and finish out the agenda, if that's okay?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, well, thank you. If everybody agrees, say yes. I didn't even ask that.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. See you guys at 1. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Tyler.
Thank you, everyone. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye. Bye-bye.